This morning we're going to read from the book of Acts, chapter 17, and the reading can be found on page 1113 in the Pew Bibles. Acts chapter 17, beginning at verse 22, and Paul is in Athens. Paul then stood up in the meeting of the Areopagus and said, "Men of Athens, I see that in every way you are very religious. For as I walked around and looked carefully at your objects of worship, I even found an altar with this inscription, 'To an unknown God.' Now, what you worship as something unknown, I am going to proclaim to you. The God who made the world and everything in it is the Lord of heaven and earth and does not live in temples built by hands. And he is not served by human hands as if he needed anything, because he himself gives all men life and breath and everything else. From one man he made every nation of men, that they should inhabit the whole earth. And he determined the time set for them and the exact places where they should live. God did this so that men would seek him and perhaps reach out for him and find him, though he is not far from each one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being. As some of your own poets have said, we are his offspring. Therefore, since we are God's offspring, we should not think that the divine being is like gold or silver or stone, an image made by man's design and skill. In the past, God overlooked such ignorance, but now he commands all people everywhere to repent. For he has set a day when he will judge the world with justice by the man he has appointed. He has given proof of this to all men by raising him from the dead." Amen. Thanks be to God. Why should we care for the environment? Why is this a relevant question to us as Christians? This is our second look at the subject in a six-week series. And this week we're focusing on our care for the environment because it is where God can be found. I spend a lot of time looking for things, even when I know roughly where they should be found. I lost my diary the other day, and that's fairly near the top of the scale of disaster ratings. Without my diary, I am lost. I knew it was in the house. I had had it less than an hour before, but I could not find it. I searched high and low. I enlisted Richard's help because he's analytical and, you know, eliminates places systematically. Can't be there, it can't be there. No, still couldn't find it. Eventually, I did find it, and you couldn't say it was hidden. It was exactly where I'd put it down. Now, in that passage we read from Acts, Paul is speaking to people whom he thinks are looking for something. And I suppose the fact that they're bothering to listen to his new teaching indicates that he's probably right. They're searching. He's in Athens, the cultural center of Greece. He's speaking to the Areopagus, which is the main administrative body, the central court. So he's speaking to people who were thinkers, philosophers, well-educated, but basically very superstitious. They had all sorts of gods, and they built endless monuments and statues to honor them. And seeing all these idols was quite upsetting to Paul. He knew that worshipping such gods was pointless. None of them was able to do anything. They were just idols, dead stone idols. But of course, being Paul, he saw this as an opportunity to preach the gospel, to tell them about the living God. I often feel that Paul must have been on a human relations course, because he seems to know how to get people to listen to him by sort of using their culture, their interests. And in his letters, he always starts by telling them the good things. So he gets them listening. And here he begins by flattering these people in a way. I can see that you are very religious. And then he picks up on the fact that one of their monuments that he's seen is to an unknown God. And that gives him an opening. And he tells them that God is the creator of everything, Lord of heaven and earth. He doesn't live in temples built by hands. He's the provider of everything. He doesn't need any human being to provide anything for him. He provides even life and breath. And all human beings are part of his creation, part of the one family. God has set their times and their seasons. He orders their lands, their territories. And God has created man to seek him, although he's not far away. Now, all this would be fascinating to the Greeks because it was so foreign to their way of thinking. They tended to believe in things that happened by chance, by fate. And this creator that Paul was speaking about was so personal, involved personally with everything that he'd created. That was a new concept to them. And Paul cleverly quotes some of their Greek writers so that they would feel that this could be their God too. In him we live and move and have our being. Came from a Cretan poet from centuries back, and they would know that. It's no good looking for God in idols, Paul continues. You can no longer claim ignorance as you worship these false gods. Since Jesus has lived on earth, has died and been raised to life, and he is the man appointed by God who will judge everybody at the last day. Therefore, it's vital everyone repents now. I want to pick up on three things that came up in that passage. Firstly, that God doesn't live in temples. Perhaps that's a little clearer if we think of it as that he can't be confined to temples. Solomon, when he was dedicating the rebuilt temple in Jerusalem, said, "But will God dwell on earth? The heavens, even the highest heaven, cannot contain you, how much less this temple I have built." And in Jeremiah, we hear God say, "Am I only a God nearby and not a God far away? Do not I fill heaven and earth?" In that first song we sang, we said, we see the Lord and he's high upon the throne and his glory fills the heaven and the earth. God is too big to live in a mere building. I do believe that God is here with us now as we worship. But I don't for a minute think that as we close the door after the service, we leave him here. And nor do I think that he's here because it's a church building. He's here because we are here worshiping him, hearing his word, calling on him in prayer. I believe he's over the road with the young people too. I believe he's in the house of the housebound person who can't come this morning. He's with those who are sick. I believe he can be found over the road in the halls, not just at Messy Church or at Alpha, but at the Monday Cafe, at the Senior Citizens Club. He's with Willie and Mary as they wash the floors for the toddlers. I believe he'll be with each of us this week. God can't be confined to a mere building. Isaiah quoted God as saying, I live in a high and holy place, but also with him who is contrite and lowly in spirit. And if there's anybody here who has a real need to know that God is with them right now, be reassured by the words of Psalm 145. The Lord is near to all who call on him. The Lord is near. The second thing I want to pick up on is Paul saying that we are made with an inbuilt wish to find God. It's that God-shaped space in us which the Alpha Course always seeks to address. We want to find God so that we can know just who he is. We want to find God not so much because we've lost him, although we may have drifted away, but without him, we are lost. This is on a completely different scale to me being lost without my diary. We are lost without God. We need God for life. Perhaps this is why those Greeks had built a monument to an unknown God. They were still searching. In one of my dad's old books, there's a little poem, and it ends like this. But chief of all thy wondrous works, supreme of all thy plan, thou hast put an upward reach into the heart of man. So our hearts are looking up to God, looking for him. Deep down in every human being, there's something that wants to find God. Whether that person calls him God or just says they want to find a meaning in life. There's a deep spiritual need. And we feel the need without knowing exactly what it relates to. There's just something missing in our lives. And the third point I want to take from today's reading is the role of Jesus in pointing us to where God can be found. Paul told the Greeks they could no longer plead ignorance and keep on worshipping their idols because all had been made plain by Jesus. Jesus, when he came to earth, became a part of God's creation because he took human form. Jesus was man and God. So he was the created and the creator, coming to save the whole world and bring it back to God, calling people to repent, to turn their lives around. If Adam, who was the first human being that God created, had spoiled God's perfect earth by his sin, then Jesus, sometimes called the second Adam, came to put right that wrong. Paul said to the Corinthians, so it is written, the first man Adam became a living being, the last Adam a life-giving spirit. Jesus came to give the whole world a chance to reconcile itself to God. And for those who do turn to God, they have the gift of the Holy Spirit, which is God with them and in them and all around them in the world. God is to be found all around us. That same God who can't be confined to mere buildings. When do you feel closest to God? We talked about this in our house group a while ago, and almost everybody said they felt closer to God in nature than anywhere else. And sometimes it's hard to think beyond a wonderful sunset or a sky full of stars or a rainbow or a fantastic view. And Jesus seemed to find himself very close to his Father in nature, in the wilderness, in the Garden of Gethsemane, on the mountainside where he so often went to pray. There are some great quotes in the introduction to the Green Bible. There's pages of them. They're great. Both St. Augustine and Martin Luther tell us that we don't just find the gospel in the Bible or in books, but in the whole of creation around us. Augustine said, "Some people, in order to discover God, read books. But there is a great book, the very appearance of created things. Look above you. Look below you. Read it." But my very favorite quote is from St. John of Damascus. "The whole earth is a living icon of the face of God." I just love that. Rather than having a picture of an imagined face of God, which is then in just one place, you have a living picture of God all around you, in everything that he made, a living icon of the face of the living God. God is to be found all around us, and we all have an inbuilt desire to find him. And yet, like the ancient Greeks, people today keep building monuments and statues, ever taller buildings like the Shard, ever bigger shopping centres, ever more powerful cars, monuments to consumerism and greed. Jonathan Porritt says, "As we have degraded the earth, so caught up in a frenzy of suicidal consumerism, we corrupted our souls." We are meant to be following Jesus, who came to save the world. We are meant to be his body on earth, continuing his saving work. Last week, we heard God speak to Job from the storm. But an even better known instance of God speaking from creation, also in the Old Testament, is from Exodus, the story of the burning bush, the bush which was aflame but which didn't burn up. Moses went to investigate what was happening. And God speaks to Moses from the burning bush. "Take off your sandals," he says. "This is holy ground." Is he speaking to us too? God is in his creation, speaking to one of his people and telling them, "This is holy ground. I am here." Should we treat all this earth as holy ground? God is here. When Jesus was on earth, he walked this ground. It's holy ground. Take off your sandals. Tread gently. At the moment, we're marching over God's creation with hobnailed boots, trampling all sorts of things into the ground. Its balance, its diversity, its resources, its beauty. It reminds me of W.B. Yeats's poem about the cloths of heaven. I have spread my dreams under your feet. Tread softly, because you tread on my dreams. Except that these are not God's dreams. This is real. This is God's creation, his vision of his kingdom that we are treading on. One day he'll renew it when his kingdom's universal. But meantime, he relies on every one of us to care for it, to keep it as his kingdom should be. Tread softly. Take off your sandals. This is holy ground. Let's pray. Lord God, mighty Creator, loving Father, teach us real respect for the world you made, the world you gave us to care for, the world where we can find you all the time if we use the eyes of faith. Help us to be fired with new enthusiasm, to care for everything you have made, and to treat this earth as holy ground because it is yours. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.